one of the fastest ways to grow your career, one of the fastest ways to grow your business and really grow your life is understanding the power of speaking and the influence you can have when you understand that. And so our guest today is the great James Malinchak, who's probably coached more people in speaking and growing their business and growing their life through speaking than anyone walking the earth. James, great to be with you.
My man, my longtime friend. How have you been?
Oh, so good.
You look good.
So good. Well, it looks like you've been out in the sun.
I have been, man. I'm down here in Florida. I live in Vegas in Florida, so I hit the beach. The ocean's right there.
Well, yeah, think about it for a moment. You live in Vegas and Florida, right? I mean, the two places people want to go to get that vitamin D. And so,
and two states with no state income tax.
that always helps, James, especially when you're having the kind of success that you're having. James, so you take people and help them understand the impact they can have if they really understand speaking and how they can influence. And you know, by the way, James, people are getting less and less effective at communication, right? People are relying solely on, you know, so much technology. But as you've launched your career, James, you've sat down and you've coached people how to really grow their business through speaking.
Yeah. And so, well, first of all, thanks for having me, buddy. I appreciate it. Anytime I get to say something that might help one person out there, I'm truly grateful and blessed. And I don't take this time lightly. So thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely.
You're awesome people. Yeah. So I never planned on doing this. You know, I seriously didn't. A lot of people don't know my background was I grew up in a tiny steel mill town outside of Pittsburgh, about 6,000 people, steel working town. Dad was a railroad conductor for the mill, and mom was a lunch mother serving lunches to us kids. So my first dream was to play Division I college basketball. I was a pretty good basketball player. And so long story short, took a basketball scholarship out of high school to go to the University of Cincinnati. And I was playing there, and then my coach got relieved from his duties, which is a nice way to say he was fired. And so I transferred and went and played college ball out in Hawaii. And I had a very short career because I ripped my knee up in a first or second game, and I was done. So I moved to Los Angeles.
Okay, but first of all, James, I got to point out the fact that you grew up in Pittsburgh, and then you go to Cincinnati, and then all of a sudden you find yourself playing basketball in Hawaii, and you're like, what's this big thing in the sky? I love this sun. And so you
start said, I'm never shoveling snow ever again.
I love that.
Seriously, I said that, and I've never lived in cold weather since. I was like, I ain't living in cold weather when you got sunshine.
Well, and James, and everyone that follows you knows this, and I don't want to get you too off track from what you were saying, but you've lived your life very intentionally. You said, okay, this is what I want, and I'm going to go make it happen, including where you're going to live. And a lot of people just let life happen to them rather than go make life happen. And I've always admired that about
that.
You.
I love that line, go make life happen. You know, blows my mind. Sometimes I'll put a thing in social media, a photo of me on the beach or driving, you know, along the ocean or something, and people will comment. And I always write back to everybody. My thing is, if you can write to me, I'll take the time to write back to you. And they'll say something like, gosh, I wish I could do that. And that perplexes me. It blows my mind because I write them back and I'm like, well, why don't you just make it happen tomorrow? Like, what are you waiting for? Like, go do it. Like, they think like it was some big thing I did, like to get a place on the ocean. I'm like, no, I just said I'm gonna do it, and I got a realtor and I got a place. Like, how hard is it?
I love that. No, but people feel like they just have to, you know, deal with whatever cards they've been dealt. And you've always taken the approach of, no, you go create. Best way to predict the future is to go create it according to you.
God's given us some amazing blessings in life, and probably one of the greatest ones is the power to choose and make decisions.
I love that.
Just decide to do something different, you know? I'm a firm believer. And you know what else, Chad, maybe this helps your folks, but my sister Vicky passed away of a brain tumor years ago at 38 with three young kids.
Wow.
And one day when she was fine, then she collapsed, had a couple months to live, and taught me a valuable lesson in my young life at that time. Life's about that long. Life is that long. It's too damn short to not do what you want to do, to don't do what you don't want to do, to be around people you want to be around, to not be around people who are leeches and who drain you and take from you and cause drama. Like, that taught me a very valuable lesson, because no one's guaranteed tomorrow morning. Not one of us.
Right.
And when that happened to Vicky, I was like, I'm going to do what the heck I want to do. Like, this is silly. Like, you're not a product of your circumstances or where you grew up or what side of the tracks you grew up on or anything like that. You can do whatever you could be doing, have anything you want in life.
Okay, but James, let's talk about that for a second, because you go to Cincinnati to play basketball thinking this is it. Then your coach gets fired and you're like, okay. So you find yourself in Hawaii playing basketball. You're like, okay, this is it. Then you blow out your knee. What has given you the just the vision to be able to, okay, I've got a detour here, but I'm going to go still have success? Because a lot of people could sit back where you're at, James, and go like, oh, if only my coach didn't get fired, if only I didn't blow out my knee. But you've embraced those challenges and turned them into great opportunities for you.
Yeah. I believe life does not happen to you. It happens for you.
Love.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And we can create whatever we want to create in life. People do it every single day. Right. So my whole thing, a couple things. One is I always have a plan B. Now, I didn't when I went to Cincinnati. I had no idea. I was right fresh out of high school.
Right.
I never expected my coach to be fired. You know, I chose Cincinnati because it was the biggest Division I school closest to home, because I wanted mom and dad to be able to see the games. It was about 5 hours away. I wanted to go to University of Pittsburgh or Penn State, but they had already had their guards, so I couldn't go there. So I went to Cincinnati, but I never had a plan, because I didn't know about plan B, because I thought that's where I was going to be, right?
Right.
And then when he got fired, I was actually at the NCAA Final Four, and out of the hundreds of thousands or million people who were there, I happened to bump into the coach from Hawaii who had recruited me in high school. Yeah, I just bumped into him at a hotel. What's the rant?
Crazy.
God winks. God bumps, right? God winks. And he said, what are you doing? And what's going on? And I said, well, my coach got fired. He said, well, if you ever want to come to Hawaii, I need a big man and I need a shooting guard and would love to have you come. And so I went back to school and I'm sitting in class one day and I'm looking outside and it's freezing and it's snow coming down. And I had just walked about a mile to get to class and my hands were turning purple sitting in class trying to warm up. And I'm like, this is stupid. I'm going to Hawaii. Right. But then when I got to Hawaii, this is where it started. I said, okay, my goal was to play professional basketball, but what if I'm not good enough? What if I get an injury? Because people get injured all the time. And so I started to put a plan B together. And thank goodness, because my plan B was to be a stockbroker if the pro basketball thing didn't work out.
Really?
So when I ripped my knee up and after I graduated, I moved to Los Angeles and I started my career as a stockbroker. Well, actually, I started as an administrative assistant with Merrill Lynch, making $18,000 living in Los Angeles.
Wow.
I used to work in a video store at night making $7 an hour so I could pay my rent and eat top ramen noodles. Chad, you don't know this, brother.
Wow.
But when I was starting out, I ate top ramen noodles for 3.5 years. Top ramen noodles and pasta. My mom one time asked me, hey, what do you want for your birthday? And I said, a Costco card. She's like, huh? I said, a Costco card. Because I didn't tell mom and dad, but I was too embarrassed to let them know that I couldn't afford the $50 for the Costco membership.
Wow.
They got me a Costco card. I went to Costco with one of those big, baskets.
Right.
And I bought all I bought were noodles and big jars of Ragu, because that's all I could afford. And for 3.5 years, I ate top ramen noodles and I ate pasta with Ragu sauce diluted with water because it would last longer. And I ate that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for about 3.5 years.
Because
I figured, it gives me carbs, so I'll have energy if I at least eat pasta. And it was cheap.
But, Jay, can you even eat pasta today? Can you eat pasta today?
I can, but it sticks a little bit more.
That's great.
But that's how I got started out. So how I got into speaking, this is kind of a cool story, is I won some. So I started as an administrative assistant, and they wouldn't let me go through the training class to become a full broker. So I quit and I walked up the street And I went to Dean Witter.
Okay.
And I said, look, just give me a shot. Like, they didn't want to hire me because I was young. I didn't have connections, right? They want people who can bring in assets and bring in clients. I said, just give me a shot. You know, put me against everybody. Just throw me in the training class. And at the end of 6 months, if I'm not out producing everybody, you could fire me. Matter of fact, you won't have to fire me. I will quit and I'll walk away. Wow. Because, sir, I will match my I will against their IQ any day of the week.
Wow.
And Chad, the guy liked it and he gave me a shot. Went to New York, trained in the World Trade Center. That's where Dean Witter's headquarters were for a whole month, trained there. Came back at the end of the year. I was number one. Well, you start with an account. You start with all the people who started at the same time. That's your training class. Mm-hmm. We had about 200 people that started from all over the world. At the end of that year, I was number one in new account openings, and I was number two in assets under management. The only reason I wasn't number one is one of the guys – father worked at a big hospital and gave him like a $100 million pension plan. But I was not, and I won most outstanding performance for our training class.
That's amazing. Right?
Yeah. And so then, and I started, what he didn't know was I had sports contacts and I could talk to these guys about, hey man, we need to start putting, you know, these guys are making big bucks in professional sports. And I could talk to them about, we got to put money away and have a plan B because you might turn a knee.
Right.
You know, back then they didn't have guaranteed contracts like today.
Right.
Like people guarantee they get their money. You get hurt, you get your money. That wasn't the way it was back then. So, and that's how I was able to do all this in my first year because nobody knew I had all these connections.
So, right. So then how do you start? Do you start speaking for Dean Witter?
So after that first year, I got asked to do a talk for a training class. I go to New York, do this talk. And it wasn't just me. There was, I don't know, 30 people they had come back, right? To kind of show, hey, here's some people doing it and you might want to be inspired by them. And I didn't know how to do a talk, man. I just told them what I did. And they said, here's what I did. It was funny when I told them the one thing, I said, I'm going to tell you something that I do that none of you will do because you're too lazy. I'm the first one in the office in the morning. I'm the last one to leave, and I don't take a lunch. I sit at my desk and eat.
Interesting.
I said, so you might be smarter than me, but I will bury you with work. I will outwork you every day of the week. My I will is stronger than your IQ. And I said, any one of you could do that. Doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. Any one of you could do that, but you won't. You know why? Because you're too damn lazy. Wow. So I was challenging them. Right?
Right.
So anyway, I get back to California, and my phone rings a couple days later, and it's some guy. And he said, hey, my son said he heard you speak. He's in the training class. He heard you speak in New York. And he said, man, I like this guy. He was like a hustler and, you know, no BS. Would you come and speak to like 20 of my sales reps that work for my company? I think he had a manufacturing company or something. And I said, I'm sorry, sir. I'm a broker. I don't speak. I was just doing that because my company flew me back and gave me a free trip. And he said, well, I'd love you. And he just blew right by the objection. He said, I'd love for you to talk for 40 minutes. I said, sir, I don't speak. And I want you to tell your story about how you did. I said, sir, I don't speak. And he said, and I'll pay you $5,000. I said, I speak. I'm like, what?
That's great.
Mama didn't raise no fool. I may have come from a small town, but I'm smart enough to understand if somebody offers you money, you shut up and take it.
Right, right.
And so, Chad, I went and did that talk, man. I was on a scale of 1 to 10. I was probably in like a negative 8 because I didn't know how to talk. Mm. Yeah, I never did a talk. I didn't even know what it was. I just told him what I did. A guy came up to me after who brought me in, and he said, man, that was great. And I'm like, what were you watching? I'm like, I don't know how to do a presentation. And I'll never forget, this was a huge turning point. He said, I don't care about any of that presentation stuff. He said, man, you inspired my folks and you gave them good ideas that they could all use to make more sales in their own career. I have two other departments with about 18 to 20 people in different areas. Would you come and speak to them? And I'm sorry because I don't have more money, but could I pay you $5,000 for each of those? I'm like, $5,000? I talked for 40 minutes. Like, so I did the talks. I'm 15 grand. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, what? For like an hour. Like, what is this? Right? And so then, thank goodness, I have a longtime friend. He's one of my dearest friends for, gosh, probably 30 years now. Joe Theismann. He used to quarterback the Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
NFL Most Valuable Player.
Right.
Super Bowl MVP. And Joe was in California one time, and he was doing a talk, and I went to see him. And after we went to breakfast, and I said, hey, Joe, did they pay you to be out here? He was talking for some company. And he said, yeah. And I said, what'd they pay you, like $100 or something, $50? I had no idea.
Right.
I wasn't putting the two and two together. Yeah. I got $5,000. I thought that was just lucky. He goes, no, they paid me $10,000. And I about fell off the chair. This was like 1998, 2000.
Right.
Joe's 30 grand now.
Yeah.
And I said, they pay you 10. I said, is this the only one you do? He said, no, I'll probably do 120 or so this year. I'm like, what? I just couldn't believe it. And Joe started to explain the business of speaking to me, that this is a whole business and an industry. And Chad, much like you, my brother, I'm the guy. You don't have to hit me in the face with a 2x4 twice. I get it the first time.
Right.
When he smacked me with that, I just became a bulldog. And I said, I don't know what I'm doing, but if this is a real thing and I got this guy who paid me this $5,000 stuff and Joe's getting all this, I'm going to figure out how to do this. And that's what I did. And now here we are 3,000 some talks later over the year.
This episode is brought to you by 10 Days to Create Clarity, a breakthrough course inside the Speak and Get What You Want Academy. If you've ever craved more meaning, more momentum, but not knowing where to start, well, you're not alone. The problem isn't motivation, it's clarity. These 10 days give you exactly that. Simple direction, real confidence, and clear next steps. You know exactly what you want, make decisions without second guessing, go from drifting to taking action, and align your life with what actually matters. And you'll feel a real shift fast. If you're tired of scrolling, stuck, or waiting for life to make sense, stop waiting. Join the Speak and Get What You Want Academy and start the 10 Days to Create Clarity course today. Go to speakandgetwhatyouwant.com.
Well, yeah, but I'll say the magic of your presentations, though, James, is what that individual told you on your second presentation. And that is, you give ideas that are actionable. You know, James, I've traveled all over this world speaking at different events. Very few people deliver ideas and content like you do, where they can go take action on it, right? So, and I've been in events where I've talked to participants and I'm like, how's the event? Oh, it was amazing. What are you going to do? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Just basking.
I feel good,
right? But the great thing, your magic is you deliver ideas that it's like, oh, okay, I can go do this. When someone pays you money for your presentation, they can go take your content and 10x whatever they invested, right?
And that's how I always intended to be. I always thought, even I was speaking for kids, right? It's one thing to say like, well, pursue your dreams.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Well, what does that mean?
Yes.
Right? It's another thing to say, now let me give you 5 steps on how you actually get your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I'm always going to, because that's what I always looked for. Like, don't give me the 30,000-foot view. Tell me what's this step and that step. What do I do? What do I say? Who do I contact? Like, how do I talk to people? Like, and so I always just said, I don't know, for me, it just made common sense. Like, that's what I want. I ought to share the same stuff with people because that is what really makes people move forward.
Right.
Not the pump me up and you could do it and go for your dreams and the world needs you stuff. Like, that's not how you run a business. That's not how you achieve a goal. You need tactile. I'll tell you what else. Let me tell you this. Fast forward many years later, I had a colonel. This will really put what we just talked about in perspective. A colonel. He led 67. He was a coaching client of mine. 67 combat missions. He was sort of like the Rambo guy, like in the sledge leading the troops, right? Like he's like out there doing it.
Right.
So he's at my house one day for a coaching session. And before we got into it, I said, hey, can I just ask you a question? This is just my own personal. I've never had anybody of your stature to ask this. But if we were going to take over a country or a territory, what's the best way to do it? Is it land, air, or sea? And he said, D, all the above. You actually do them all, right? Yeah. And I said, oh, okay. He said, however, if there's only one that you have, he said, it's boots on the ground. It's tactical maneuvers on the ground. And I was like, that's exactly what I teach. Mm-hmm. Tactical maneuvers. Do this, do that, do this. So, yeah, I love people that give me like two or three things to do, and it makes a big difference. Like, don't fill me full of, 30,000 foot view fluff.
Right, exactly. And that's your mantra, because when I get back from speaking at your event, my kids, I have a bunch of kids, and they'd be like, Dad, why was that event? Why are you so jazzed? Why are you so fired up? I'm like, because a lot of the events, James, when I go speak at different events, I'm in my hotel room, I go speak, and then I'm out, right? Yeah. Your event, I'm sitting in the back going, okay, I'm taking notes, because you have this phrase like, oh, clean it up a little bit, but get stuff done, right? And that's what you
GSDF, get stuff done fast.
Yes, exactly. And I remember that, you're like, okay, get stuff done fast. But what you do is, and Bertrand Russell said this years ago, he said, people would rather die than think, right?
Oh, yeah.
The people that show up at your events, James, and people that listen to you, you give them step by step. Oh, okay, so if I do these three things, then I can go be successful. And you're like, that's it. Do those three things and you can go be successful, because we all know the confused mind does nothing. And so when people are thinking, sometimes, James, people fall into the trap saying, I want to seem really smart. So when I give my presentation, I went to an event where the guy speaking in front of me said that had a list of like the 87 best marketing ideas. And I'm like, yeah, no one's going to do that.
No, you need a couple.
Right. And so James, you make it very simple for people. And so my kids would be like, so is James like a motivational speaker? I'm like, no. He's a speaker that you leave motivated because you have direction.
That's good.
You know,
thank you for that.
Because I tell people all the time, James, you're not lazy. It's not that you lack motivation. You lack direction.
Yeah, that's really good.
You give people direction.
Well, you know what I have to say about it? Thank you for that. It means a lot coming from you. But you know what I have to say about motivation? This is probably going to get me in hot water with, I hope nobody listening or watching any of this in the future, like, throw something at me, like if they see me, like a roll or something or a piece of bread. But you know what I say about motivation is, like, people will come up to me and say, thank you so much for motivating me. And I always say, hey, first of all, thanks for the compliment, but I didn't motivate you. In all my years on this planet, I have only motivated one person in my life, James Robert Malinchak from Manassas, Pennsylvania. You may have been inspired by something that I said, okay? But the inspiration, the motivation, none of that, I didn't do it to you. That's something you feel, okay? But if you take the tactics and the strategies away, that will change your life. So don't feel like this was motivational, because I didn't motivate you, okay? I want to motivate you to do the strategies, because the strategies will work. But there's only one kind of motivation, and that's self-motivation. Because if you don't do the strategies, okay, it's not my fault. Don't give me the praise for motivating you, and don't chastise me when you don't motivate yourself to do the strategies.
Well, but James, at the same time, with all due respect, let me just say this, okay? You spend a good portion of your life in Las Vegas. And when you're driving through Vegas, and I'm not familiar enough with Vegas like you are, so I still need my GPS. Those freeways are a mess, James. Like, there's a lot.
I call them the spaghetti bowl.
Goodness, they're going everywhere, right? And so a lot of people in life are caught on one of those freeways, and they're just driving around.
Yeah.
And you show up, James, and you go, where are you headed? And they go, we were wanting to drive to Disneyland. And, well, how long have you been wanting to drive there? 15 years. And James, you come in and say, actually, if you get on this on ramp and you drive this direction, and then they're like, oh my goodness, James, you just motivated me so much. You just told them how to get out of the spaghetti bowl.
Yeah. And but I guess what I'd say to that is I didn't give them rah-rah motivation. Right. I gave them actual strategies and techniques.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So I was at an event last week and it was all the rah-rah.
Mm.
And I was there to see a friend who was speaking there,
right.
A guy named Ed Milet. I don't know if you know Ed.
Yeah.
But I had the person with me. I said, after each speaker, I said, so what'd you learn? And this person is a very astute business person, sold companies, et cetera. I said, it feels good, but didn't give me anything I can actually use. Right? Speaker after speaker after speaker. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, yes. They're just, it sounds nice. It feels good, but there's no actionable item. So James, have a few minutes left here, but you have so much content, so much value here, but James, when you prepare a presentation, do you think in your mind, okay, what are they going to do because of this presentation? Is that a question you ask yourself? Or
so when I do, if I could give you my secret, how do I say it? My secret technique that I do that I don't really share with people. I'm going to share it with you. How's that?
I love it. I love it.
When I put a presentation together, any presentation, and especially if it's a presentation where you are going to offer something after, okay? But I still do this with fee-paid speaking if I'm going to talk to a kids group, okay? First of all, I always say I'm going to give them strategies, like tactical. Remember, wars are won on the ground, tactical maneuvers. So I got to give them tactics. I can't just say, you can do it. Right? I'm going to give them specific things on how to do it, specific steps. Okay. However, every single thing, every story I say, anything that comes out of my mouth must fit these three things. If not, I have to adjust them to fit these three or I take it out.
Mm.
That includes any slide with any picture, anything, any words on a slide has to fit these three.
Okay.
Number one, when I speak to someone, the group, the audience must say to themselves, I can do that.
Mm.
If they're not saying that, then I am talking over their heads.
Okay.
I want to break it down on a sixth grade level.
Love that.
Okay. I'm not up there going, oh, look how smart I am. And let me use these big words like you see a lot of speakers do.
Right.
Okay. So number one, they have to say, I can do this. Number two, they have to say, and I can do this right now. This isn't the 87 steps of marketing, right? I had a person one time, I was speaking at an event with, I kid you not, he was talking on how to get things done faster and like time management and productivity. I kid you not. This is a 30-minute talk, and I heard him stand up and say, today I'm going to share with you the 21 steps for more. I'm like, 21? How are you going to do 21 to get stuff done faster?
right?
So what's the brain do? Oh, I can't do that. That's 21 things I got to do every day. I can't do that. I can't do that now. Right?
Right.
So number one, they got to say, I can do this. Number two, they have to say, I can do this right now. Number three, they have to say, I can do this right here. Meaning wherever I am in my life, I'm married, I'm single. I live in a high rise in New York City. I live on a farm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Meaning this, they don't have to make massive change and do a lot of work in order to implement the techniques.
I love
because that. The minute you make them say that is the minute they check out.
Right.
I can't, this is too hard. I'll keep in a rut rather than get out of the rut. Cause I can't do those 21 steps.
Yeah. Well, and that's the beauty of what you do, James. And that's why I absolutely love your events. I love what you're doing because you take people by the hand and just guide them from where they are to where they need to be in a very simple way.
I try, you know, you try your best to do it, right? Mm. But there's still folks that won't do it even if you do that.
Right.
you know, right? You could tell them, look, pick up the round peg, not the square one. You got the square one in your hand. Pick up the round peg and put the round peg in the round hole.
Right. Right.
And they won't even pick up the peg. Some of them.
Well,
if I picked it up for them, they still wouldn't pick it up and do it.
Right. Yeah. But that's part of what you do though, James, is you make sure you're talking to the right people. You make sure you're talking to the people that actually want to not be where they're at right now, 6 months from now.
Correct. Yeah.
And
let me tell you something else I just thought of to illustrate the, I can do this. I can do this now. I can do this right here. Okay. When I teach people how to do it, people freak out about creating like consulting and coaching programs. And I always tell them, I say, hey, I'm going to teach you right now in a minute, less than a minute, how to create a coaching program. Take out a sheet of paper. Okay. Halfway down, draw a line across the middle. So divide it in the top half and the bottom half. Okay. Now go back to the top. At the top, I want you to write down what I will give them.
Mm.
And then when you get out of here, I want you to write down four or five things that you'll give them to help them, calls, Zooms, whatever, right? Below the line, I want you to write down this, what I will charge them, and I want you to put a price on it. There you go. There's your coaching program. What the hell is so hard about it?
Well, and that's the genius. That's your genius, James. You take very complex things and you make it very simple. And
yeah. I don't understand why certain people complicate things.
Well, and you know, it's funny because I was, you and I have a mutual friend who wrote a book, and I love him to death. And he wrote his book on scaling a business, right?
Okay.
But he's the absolute worst at scaling his business, right? In fact, I had a friend write him a little note saying, hey, you really should read this book.
And, he sent him his own book,
right? And that,
I love that.
That's the reality of it. So anyway, James, what you share is so valuable. So if people want to follow you, they can follow you on Instagram. They can go to bigmoneyspeaker.com.
Very simple. Yeah, bigmoneyspeaker.com or, you know, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm very easy to find and accessible.
Oh, James, what you shared is so valuable. Loved having you. We could go for hours. So thanks for your time. Thanks for what you shared. And thanks for making such a massive impact.
Anytime, brother. Anytime. I appreciate you.
Great being with you. Bye now.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.